as we gather together to worship our God, let's do so by singing his praises from the words of Psalm 24, and then breaking into reason, say, from the beginning of that psalm. The earth belongs unto the Lord, and all that it contains, the world that is inhabited, and all that there remains. For the foundations thereof he on the seas did lay, and he hath established upon the floods to stay. Who is the man that shall ascend into the hill of God? Or who within his holy place shall have for an abode? Whose hands are clean, whose heart is pure, and unto vanity, who hath not lifted up his soul, nor sworn deceitfully, he from the eternal shall receive the blessing thereupon, and righteousness even from the God of his salvation. These five stanzas to the praise of our Lord, the earth belongs unto the Lord.
The earth belongs unto the Lord, and all that it contains.
Those who have no hope in themselves. And that work of salvation is lavish. It's perfect. It's fullsome. It covers every spot, every tickle, every small speck on the soul of thy people. That when we come before thee, there is nothing of which we need to be concerned or afraid. For everything is underneath the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So may we do our spiritual arithmetic once again this morning to remember the countless blessings, the way in which let us revive us and renew us, that we might speak to our soul, O thou my soul, bless God the Lord, and all within me is, be stirred up, the soul of me to magnify and praise. We ask of thee, Lord, therefore, the ministry of thy Spirit, that the privileges we now engage in might be acceptable in thy sight, as we come in the name of thy Son, pleading his name and his finished work as the alone basis of our approach before thee. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst single us out and separate us one from the other in our community or in our family circle, that we might realize that thou art speaking to and dealing with each one of us alone and apart. We all of us carry concerns and anxieties with us. Perhaps we're not able or want to share them with others, but they are all known to thyself. And so we ask, Lord, the ministry of thy word can be home to each one of us with point and with application, that we might realize that here indeed we have dealings with thyself. Take from us the ritual of habit or routine. Take from us the complacency when we handle familiar words and thoughts from thy word. And we ask, O Lord, that the words of the preacher, stuttering and stammering as they often can be, that they might be anointed with the power of heaven before they reach the ears of the hearer. The blessings that we seek for ourselves here gathered, we pray that they will be multiplied to those not able to be with us, those who are old, those who are there, for those providences that have kept them back suddenly and unexpectedly, whatever be the circumstances attending them people here and in other places. Lord, may thy blessing, the lifting up of thy house, the lifting up of thy face upon them, be the blessing that we cherish, value, and look for. And the very things that we seek for ourselves, our congregation, and our community, we will multiply them out, O Lord, to different areas in our nation, amongst our people, across the face of the world. We know not where thy people might be or what they are going through or enduring, but we can bring each and every one before thyself, that that blessing which is the delight of thy people might be shared by thy people this morning. And especially, Lord, we pray for the spiritual effect of thy word. The heart of man naturally will not receive nor accept it. There is a bias and a darkness surrounding the thinking of people. And we pray, Lord, that thou would break in with the light of this gospel and the work and power of thy Spirit. But for the first time, perhaps, there would be that awareness of the spiritual need of sin, that we are underneath that judgment, and where we escape when we are, we will be cast out forever from thy presence. That there is a hope given in this message for ourselves this morning. A hope that is not of our making, constructing, or achieving. But a hope that can be experienced by his life. And so we pray thy blessing upon the preaching of this gospel for the healing of our nation. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst remember those who go out in cities, towns, villages, and small communities to the length and breadth of the nation, that we might, as a people, return to the God we have forsaken, that we might come with repentance upon our part and demonstrate it in our life. We pray, O God, thou wouldst lay thine hand of restraint upon the sword of justice, and extend upon us thine hands of divine benediction. So hear us, O Lord. Come in amongst us, we pray. Put down upon us in Jesus Christ, thy Son. And for this sake, pardon and forgive us the multitude of our sins, for so many that are known to us, and account us now known to thyself. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We continue our worship, this time coming to Psalm 21. And again, singing from the beginning and singing the first five stanzas of that psalm, the King in thy great strength, O Lord, shall very joyful be. In my salvation rejoice, how good it shall be. Thou hast bestowed upon him all that his heart would have, and therefore him does not withhold what e'er his lips will crave. For thou with blessings and prevents of goodness manifold, and thou hast set upon his head a crown of pure gold. So he desired life of thee, thou life to end with him, even such a length for days that he forevermore should live. In that salvation wrought by thee, his glory is revealed. Honor and comely majesty thou hast upon him set. Psalm 21, from the beginning, the King in thy great strength, O Lord.
The King in thy great strength, O Lord, shall very joyful be.
Came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe and tell you heavenly things? And no man hath sent up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and they retired with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in there near to Salem, because there was much water there, and he came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast in. And then arose a question between some of the disciples and the Jews that were purified. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before them. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friday, that the friend of the bridegroom who standeth and leadeth him, he shouteth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, this my joy therefore is with him. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that cometh of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. What he hath seen and heard that he testified. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath said the seed that God is true. But he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. The Lamb of God abideth forever. Amen. hand and look to the Lord, give us blessing and make us shine. I'd like to praise and turn to Psalm 30. And again, from the beginning of that Psalm, Psalm 30. Lord, I will be but so, for thou hast lifted me on high. I know when we to rejoice, I know when we to rejoice, but it's not my name. For thou who art the Lord my God, I am distressed to thee. When thou Christ, lift up my voice, and thou hast called me. O Lord, my soul, thou hast brought back and rescued from the grave, that I could picture not the dead, and I thou didst be saved. For ye that are his holy ones, sing praise unto the Lord, and give unto him thanks when he is holy. But a moment lasts his wrath. Life in his favor lies. We've been made for a night to endure that morning, the joy of life. Psalm 30 from the beginning, Lord, I will be restored.
Lord, I will be extolled for thou hast lifted me on high, and over me thou to rejoice, which not mine enemy.
Organizations we are associated with do likewise for us with our work agenda. And there are things there that as the year unfolds, we've got to adjust them and we've got to depart from them. We've got to take in some, we've got to leave out others. But God has his agenda also. God has set out his plans and purposes for this world, especially involving his Son in it. We've already seen that in John chapter 4, when the Lord had to go and walk by the well of Samaria, because chapter 4, verse 4 tells us he must needs go through Samaria. There is that divine appointment that was not open to negotiation. A disturbance could not be abandoned. He had to go there. That word must appear 3 times in the chapter we read. You must be born again, verse 3. Verse 7, you must be born again. Verse 14, even so the Son of God, man must be lifted up. There are certain things that the Lord has set out in this world that are not open to negotiation. This vital experience that anyone has to go through if they are to entertain the hope of being in the presence of God at peace and quietness and strength. If that's our hope, this must be our experience. I want to go back with you, way back, years and years and years. The things that talking about that, you used to have big texts on wayside pulpits. Even before that, you would have what's called a sandwich man, a board front and back with a text on it. A wayside pulpit. Something that you were confronted with on the streets as you went out and about your business. Always bringing home a specific spiritual message. Your sins shall find you at Numbers 32. That personal challenge, prepare to meet your God. And amongst these texts from that wayside prophet, there would be this one. You must be born again. It emphasizes the vital spiritual need so that any who read it or all who pass by it would be aware of the spiritual message given by it. This vital spiritual qualification set by God for any and for all who might have a hope of coming into his presence. Today we live in a disposable society. We're living throwing away things. Nappies, plates, drink containers, coffee cups. I read that there are over 80 billion chopsticks thrown away every year. We have so many disposable things. Things that we can buy without. No need for us to keep them. But in this text we're told of a spiritual experience that's vital for all and any who will be saved. And through this text this morning, the Lord in our presence and congregation is breaking into the routines of life for you, me and all of us. And he tells us what must happen to us. And we must born again. We say it. No hope to negotiation. No debate about it. The Lord has spoken simply and plainly. No complications in the grammar or the vocabulary or the syntax. It's there for us all to read. One and all of us. We must be born again. Some time ago, we went out to see friends down in Wales. And we all do it when we run on church like that, something put on the radio, put on a CD. But every now and again, as we were on that trip, There was an interruption coming from the radio. No matter what program you were in, no matter what CD you were listening to, there was always this break-in of traffic information. Something that we needed to hear and needed to know along that road for our safety and for our arrival. Something that was happening all around us. The same occurs here. This is something that's important for us. And into the journey of life, the Lord is breaking in here to speak to us. No matter what else is going on in our minds, no matter what else is consuming our life, God is putting everything on pause for this ourselves as he speaks to us through this text with urgency and with importance. So the first thing I want us to think about here is the approach that was used by Nicodemus in coming to Christ. The chapter breaks that we have here in this gospel, they're rather unfortunate, especially at this point, because the very last verse of chapter 2 ties in with the substance of chapter 3. And Jesus needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. The Lord knows the character and the needs of all peoples. He can read you and me like an open book. He knows the spiritual mold, he knows the spiritual thinking, he knows the spiritual experiences of each and every one of us exhaustively. The good things, but also the bad things. We try to cover them up. It doesn't work. There's no distraction from that exercise conducted by the Lord. There is nothing that will spoil it. He will regain, he knows everything, completely in balance and fully and perfectly. And that, when we let that truth come home to us, shakes us to the core. He knows us inside out. But there's an encouragement. There's an encouragement from that very knowledge, that very spiritual truth. We saw it when we were looking at Felix and Priscilla. Remember what Paul had to say? He preached of God, righteousness, temperance, judgment to come. Three headings to a sermon that were tailor-made for the man that he was addressing because of who he was. Well, the same thing happens here because the gospel message is tailor-made for you and I. All the little nuances, the truths that need to be emphasized and applied, they all come home to you and me as God knows us. The gospel is measured and appropriate to the vital needs of all of us, you and me together. It tells us what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. God says, and what God says speaks, addresses the biggest problem in the soul of every one of us here. So he knows all men, and he really knows. The approach, how did, when did he come? He came, we're told, by night. Why at night? Well, there are two possible looks, I would suggest, at least. Maybe he wanted to come secretly. We're told that the fear of man sets a snare, and we're scared of what other people might say when we exhibit a spiritual or a Christian interest. When we start paying attention to our Bibles, when we start coming to church more regularly, and so on, people notice it. And we're just a little bit apprehensive about that, so try to hide it to begin with. The fear of man sets a snare. And therefore this man, he was a rabbi, he was a teacher, it would never do his reputation good to be seen talking to Jesus. It would spoil his credibility. Was that the reason why he came out? Secret? perhaps there was another reason. Not secrecy, but seclusion. More than likely, he wanted peace and quietness to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't want any interruptions of people passing by. Hello, Nicodemus. Didn't want anything that to interrupt what he was going to talk about with the Lord. Maybe he was a timid person, a shy man. He wasn't pushy coming to the front always. So at night, he had Jesus to himself. I suggest that that's the more likely reason, because when you go to chapter 19 of the same gospel, verse 39, we're told of two people. We're told about Nicodemus, yes. But we're also told about Joseph. And the two of them, there's something identified for us in the character. First of all, we're told about Joseph because he feared the Jews. Nevertheless, he came screaming from the crowd and stood up for the Lord at a time of need. And alongside Joseph, there was this man Nicodemus. And again, the one quality that is singled out for us in John chapter 19 is, this is the very man who did what? He came to Jesus the man. So it wasn't a secret. It wasn't hushed up or hidden away. It was something that he did and was known about openly. He came out and he stood up for the Lord when others pursued him. And for a timid man, that requires an explanation. And the only one that we can offer is that he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior, out of and from this conversation that he had, with all of the problems that he had in understanding, with all of the difficulties that he presented before the Lord, the same kind of thing that's going on in your mind right now. Putting up any kind of obstacle and barrier to this must which the Lord has set before us. And despite them all for him, and we pray despite them all for us, the Lord spoke to them, called them to himself, and we pray that the same would be repeated for us here this morning. He was a changed person. He testified in John chapter 19 to the very thing that you can't understand here in John chapter 3. He was once blind. We're told in John chapter 11, I think it is, once I was blind, now I can see. That's the testimony of Nicodemus. Perhaps that might be the testimony of others here today. That's our longing for others. And that longing becomes more and more passionate and deep. We're all going along the path. It's a one-way street, the path of life. And we see the end coming closer and closer. The distant shore coming nearer. And as that shore comes closer and things become more and more in the background and in the memory, so things become more important to us. And may this be one thing, that we might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the approach that this man exhibited, coming by night. Yes, with his problems and difficulties, but all of them at rest at some time by the Lord. But there was something else I want to highlight about his approach. Simon calls him, he says, Rabbi. Rabbi. And by using that word, he was trying to set himself equal with the Lord. We know that no man can do these things except God is with them. So yes, there was that
acknowledgement
that this was somebody who God was blessing in some measure. And therefore there's this kind of discussion one with another, a mutual discussion about things spiritual perhaps. That's what Nicodemus was wanting to engage in. He did have the knowledge after all that only with God's blessing could Jesus be doing the things that he was doing. So yes, there were some spiritual qualities there that he recognized and accepted. But Jesus was much, much more than just simply a worker. He was a teacher. He was interested in the mind and the thought of everyone he met. He was interested in the living room. If I can use this illustration. He was interested in the front of the room of every house, every part, every person that he met. The front room of the house. We all have them. They're set down here with all the best of furniture and everything else is in place. And that's what the Lord was always interested in. That the furniture of truth was in the living room of life. The furniture of truth was in the living room of life. In the soul, in the heart. But the room is in darkness. And you try moving around any room in darkness. You hit your foot against a chair, you bump into the table, you just go and stand on something, you trip over something else, and the coffee table will go all over the place. We all know. And it's the same with the truth of the scriptures. They're in the front room of our mind because we've been at services and we've been here often enough. We know the basic A, B, C of the gospel. But the room of our mind is still dark. And we trip up over the things that God tells us. We trip over the things that God shows us. He's come to save, he's come to redeem. That's his vital purpose in life. But if we miss it, we've got an incomplete understanding. And there's a big defect in our spiritual perspective. That's what the Lord said to Nicodemus. That's what Nicodemus' problem was. He couldn't get around the truth. How could a man be born a second time? How can he get into his mother's womb? He was balking at the truth. He couldn't understand it. He was tripping over this funny thing. And see what the Lord says in verse 10. Art thou a master in Israel? And you don't know these things? The Lord was speaking about the vital things that he, at this point, didn't know anything about. Oh yes, he's a rabbi. He could speak about creation. He could speak about the Old Testament, he could speak about the prophets, he could speak about all these things. But he was missing the central issue. Religion to Nicodemus was the conformity to rules, standards, and regulations. It was at arm's distance. It was not a way of close personal application in life. For the gospel, for Nicodemus, he and we together stand or fall on one essential matter. How am I in my soul? How am I on the inside? It's not a performance of this, that, or the other. It's not the routines of life that take me to church. It's not my attendance at church or reading a scripture. It's none of these. But it's these things that are so much more. We need to rely and trust on the one who has done what I could not do. The one who has come to save when I can't. And so we all need to hear it. The vital central truth coming to our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus lacked that essential feature. He fail to see the purpose of the coming of Jesus. So that's the first thing I wanted to mention, the approach. Well, if that was the approach of Nicodemus, what was the answer of the Lord? Jesus did not break into the track of thinking that Nicodemus had just shown. He didn't just pick up where Nicodemus stopped. There was something far, far more important to be said. And the Lord will not and could not hold back. He went straight to the heart of the problem of Nicodemus and of ourselves. After all, this is what he came into the world to do. The whole purpose of his coming, I come to do the will of my Father who sent me. It was consuming him. It was dominating him. It dictated everything that he did and said. It was in his bones. And it came out now when he spoke to Nicodemus. He plunges right in and speaks to him and speaks to us, waving everything to the side. And he addresses immediately what is important. Just the same way as when you're driving and the traffic bulletin comes through a program that you listen to. Because it's important. So the Lord breaks in and says something that's worth listening to. And when I need to hear it, be still. To listen to what God is saying to us right now. So therefore, you switch off your phones when you come to church. Let's just for a moment now switch off our thinking and distraction of tomorrow. Let's switch off what we did yesterday. Let's switch off the plans we've got for family or anyone else. Let's listen to what the Lord is saying to us now. We all of us need a thorough change. We all of us need a renewal. And the only way in which, the best way that the Lord could convey that essential requirement is to speak of birth. Yes, there's that change from coming to the womb to living in a fearful world as we have outside the womb. But it's called the new birth. It's speaking about being born again. And the only way that we can get into the kingdom of heaven is to be born again in a radically new fashion. The Holy Spirit working in your soul and mind to bring us to know ourselves, our problem, bring us to the foot of the cross where we see the beauty of Jesus Christ in a certain measure to the problem of God. Tinkering around with that problem, here and there, doing a little bit here and there, it doesn't work. We've all of us developed habits. We've all of us developed routines. And the longer we've got them, the harder they will be to dismantle. We all have our life set in the mold of our thinking. We're all sinners. And sin is in the environment in which we live. We cannot change the spots of our living, of our life. Neither can we change ourselves by ourselves. But what we cannot do, God has done. So therefore, ask yourself a question. What are you making of the sermon so far? What are you making of the sermon so far? Nicodemus was in darkness. He couldn't understand the teaching. He also sit and listen. But I don't understand what he said. Yes, we can set our lives in contrast to we've got friends who are Christians. And there's the excitement that they show about spiritual things. They're going to church and they're excited about going to church. They pick up the Bible as an important book they've got. They engage in prayer. They speak about heaven and they speak about God. They speak about the Lord Jesus Christ with us. transformation and rapture, all of these things. But it did not touch me, perhaps, as it touched others. They don't bother us. Why? Well, we're told very simply, the natural man does not receive the things of God. There's a barrier and an obstacle with that darkness we've talked about being in the living room of life, that we don't understand what God is saying to us. We've heard it already, God speaks. Verse 3, pressing the pause button with that simple phrase, verily. That's God pressing the button and says, this is important. Listen to this. And he comes and he speaks again in verse 5. I say to you, verily, verily, something important needs to be said and to be repeated because it's that important. He breaks into the conversation with Nicodemus and he gets his attention again. And he breaks into our thinking, likewise today. Hopefully, prayerfully, to get our attention. Just the same way as the camera radio seems to get our attention. And when the Lord speaks to Nicodemus, yes, he says it's important. But the second time he speaks in verse 5, he adds just that little bit extra. And that's the way the Lord often deals with his people. Look at the way in which three times in Scripture, at least in the Gospels, he tells the disciples that are going to Jerusalem and to be dying on a cross. And every time he adds a little bit extra to this dialogue, to this to the information he's giving. It's the same to you. Verse 5, he says, yes, a man be born again, but born of water and of the Spirit. The picture becomes clear. Don't let it slip. Don't let it be smothered. Don't let it be stolen from your thinking. It's important for your spirit. What does he mean? Water. A man is born of water. Well, that, we can easily recognize that. That represents the natural birth. We all have that phrase. We've heard it. When a pregnant woman is about to come to tire, she breaks the waters. That's what we're talking about here. We all have many pleasures, we all have many blessings and privileges in our natural life. Spoken at the beginning here. Paul had a great list of them. He could recite where I was born in this kind of environment, I was brought up to do these kind of things, I was trained to be a rabbi, a whole list of his CV. Going there for him, every single thing qualified to be a spiritual leader in Israel. Yes, great blessings for him. We can all recite the same blessings for ourselves. But they don't do good that lasts. They don't do good that lasts. The furniture is in the front room. That we need the light to go on, to see and appreciate the beauty of everything that's in place by God. We need something more. And that more is spoken of here. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. We all need the Holy Spirit to break into our lives, to bring light and understanding to the truths that we possess. The furniture in that front room. Ah, now I make sense of why that seat is there. Now I understand why that table is there. That light, yes, it's doing this for me. Everything begins to fit and mesh together. And the Spirit of God is at work in your life and mine. den Bestand des Sinnes than never before. We realize what it is to be underneath the judgment of God and His holiness and justice. The demands that you've raised before us, if we're to be in His company, we sang about it there. Who's going to ascend into the hill of God, whose hands are clean, whose heart is pure? And if we apply these credentials to ourselves, we come short, which is simply don't measure up, and we won't get in. We need something. We need the Spirit of God to enlighten our minds, to show us what we are, but not to stop there, but to bring us to see the beauty and the attraction of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need if we're going to be saved and to entertain the hope of heaven. Front and center, every sermon we've heard, here in this building, front and center, Jesus Christ, and the beauty, the appropriateness of what He's done. So yes, that's the approach. Yes, that's the answer the Lord gives. What was the address? What was the address that He gave to the kings? How did He respond to it? Well, that day Nicodemus was told things that stretched his mind and shook his soul. Born again? What does that mean? His whole life's work was dismantled with one short sentence. In these few words, what he had spent his life putting together fell apart before him. Everything crumbled. Astonishment was written on his face, written large on his face. Verse 4. How can a man be born when he's old? Verse 9. How could these things be? You can imagine the consternation, the astonishment. The lack of understanding was clearly demonstrated in his face. Jesus saw it. And Jesus dealt with it. What about ourselves? What's our reaction to what we've heard thus far? Is it astonishment? Incredulity? The things that we've spent a lifetime meshing together. Has this sermon this morning broken everything in pieces? Don't be surprised if that's happening. That's what you expect when we are the deeds of God. Because we need to know ourselves perfectly. We need to know the Lord Jesus Christ fully. We need to see Him painted in spiritual colors. It's repeated. And repeat it. You must be born again. You must be born again. That's the only option. There's no other way. We're told in Acts chapter 4, there is no other name given underneath heaven whereby you must be saved. That's how exclusive Jesus Christ is. All other doors are tightly closed. We don't like being told that. That we cannot solve the problem ourselves. We always want to make some contribution to it ourselves, but we are utterly helpless. And that's the very place which the Lord takes me to deeds. And that's the very place which the Lord takes you and me. Because it's only when we know we are utterly helpless, only there and then, will we appreciate the grace and the beauty and the love of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for sinners with me and me. Yes, we're coming on to the close. Simply ask the question, all the information that you've been given for the first time, the information that has been revived for the second and third time in your memory. What's your reaction to it all now? Do you argue with what God is saying? Not the minister, but what God is saying to you. Or do you just simply bow your head and say, yes, that's me. One last thought. Yes, we've heard the bad news that hits the skin and goes below the skin. It's went to the heart and soul of everyone of us who have been set in by God. But there's an assurance given in verse 11. Again, notice what it says. Verily, verily. Important. Stop. Listen in verse 11 what he's saying. We speak what we know and testify what we've seen. We witness this person. We tell the gospel simply as we can. We lay down. But what the Lord is speaking through this gospel and through this sermon is utterly reliable. Utterly reliable. We know what we're talking about. That's what this text is saying. We know what we're talking about. It's not something airy, fairy, and watching it either. It's not just a mere possibility. This is fact. John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Completely reliable and trustworthy. We can rest and lean the rest of our life upon it. We can go through and face death relying on Him. And we can confront the possibility of eternity with peace and serene quietness. He tells the truth about ourselves and our God and our Jesus Christ. We don't know. We don't know what happens when Nicodemus after this meeting. We're not given any indication of his experience between John 3 and John 19. So therefore, Nicodemus is now out of the equation. But now it comes down to just you and me. What are we doing with what we've heard? What are we doing with what we've heard? One day, that question will be put to all men. And a great division will be made between those who respond and those who reject. Therefore the question comes to us, which side of the line will we be on? And what company will we be in? Have we learned, have we come to trust in Jesus Christ, who meets our needs, who has opened our eyes to appreciate our need and his answer to our problem? Have we known the work of the Spirit of God flooding our minds, not just simply with a fight of truth, but switching on the light to see the relationship between these elements of truth? Have we known the touch of God's Spirit upon our soul, making us sensitive as never before to what we've heard this morning? Have we known the work of God's Spirit to make us receive it, to bring it home to our soul, to come and plead for that good matter of all? Nothing in my hand I pray, simply to that cross I pray. Is that out there? Is that the outcome of what we've heard this morning? You must be born again. Let's pray. Gracious Lord and God, we bless thy name for thy word to us this morning. We pray that it might be winged to our soul with the power of the might of heaven. We ask, Lord, that thou would speak to each one of us as silent. Separate us from all the company and all the distractions from the purpose. And may we have dealings with thee, Lord, this day, on the basis of grace, goodness, patience. And help us, Lord, to trust in the one who sent the battle. Be the so much hope. May our eyes be fixed. And may our trust rest for time and eternity in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in this name. Amen. We close this morning by saying Psalm 63. Psalm 63, and at the beginning of that psalm, Lord, be my God, I early see thee. My soul doth thirst for thee. My flesh longs in a dry parched land to win no water thee, that I thy power may behold the brightness of thy face, as I have seen thee heretofore in thy holy place. Since better is thy love than life, my lips be praise of thee. I in thy name will lift my hands and bless thee while I live. And as with marrow and with fat my soul shall fill thee, then shall my mouth with joyful lips sing praise of thee. When I with thee upon my bed, remember with delight, and on thee I meditate, and that is all that. 63 from the beginning, Lord, be my God, and I receive.
Lord, be my God,